This morning we turn to the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, and chapter 11. I wish to look at some words with you in the 22nd verse, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 22. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. When the apostle wrote this letter in AD 55, he was well aware that there were serious problems at Corinth. And among those problems was a wrong attitude to the church, to which matter he writes here. The second part of the verse, despise ye the church of God. The Corinthians were showing little respect for the church. And this was apparent in their services and in their meetings. Their whole approach to the church was defective. They were showing profound disrespect for the church which was in Corinth. This was true especially of the Lord's Supper. It was clear that they viewed the Lord's Supper in a totally wrong way and manner. The result was that dishonor was brought upon God, disgrace brought to the church. After four direct questions in verse 22, the apostle accuses them of fault. And he concludes, I praise you not. That is a stinging rebuke for the way they viewed and the way they treated the church. And I want to take those words this morning and share some thoughts with you. It's a question, of course, there in the 22nd verse. Despise ye the church of God? And I want each of us to ask that question in our own hearts. Despise ye the church of God? Now, the church spoken of here is the local church, the particular church in Corinth. That was what was being despised. The local or particular church in any given place is worthy of the highest regard. And that is where I want to begin this morning. And I want to make a number of points here. First of all, the church is worthy of the highest regard and respect because it is a divine institution. That much is contained in Paul's question. despise ye the church of God. When the apostle writes of the church, as he does in so many places, he often describes it as something which belongs to the Lord, and that we are to remember that at all times. If I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. 1 Timothy 3:15. In the Old Testament, a phrase is often to be found very similar to that, the church of God. In the Old Testament, it is the congregation of the Lord, as in Numbers 27:17. The Lord Jesus Christ envisaged Christian churches, even when there were none. And in Matthew 18, he said, with reference to a particular matter, that the people of God should tell the church. He envisaged that there would be a local particular church to which appeal could be made. And under his apostles, such churches were founded. Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost, and as a result of that preaching, a church was formed in Jerusalem. And the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. Wherever the apostles went, in particular we have the record of the apostle Paul, he preached the gospel, he gathered the people, and he formed them into churches. And in doing this, he knew that he was fulfilling the purpose of Jesus Christ. So that's the first reason why we should respect the church, because it is divine in its institution. Secondly, we should respect the church because Scripture has so much to say about the local church, or the particular church where we are. In Psalm 48 and verse 11, the universal church is spoken of. Let Mount Zion rejoice. And then the local and particular churches are spoken of. Let the daughters of Judah be glad. The literal reference is to the small cities surrounding the great city of Jerusalem. But the reference is to the little churches which represent the universal church of Jesus Christ. In Isaiah, in chapter 4 and verse 5, there is another reference. The Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and are upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day, the shining of flaming fire by night. In other words, the protecting presence of God. The dwelling places of Zion are the particular churches. The assemblies of Zion are the particular churches. When we come to the New Testament, there is reference after reference to these churches. In Acts 9 and verse 31, Luke the historian writes, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria." In chapter 15 and verse 41, "And he, Paul, went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches." Why does Scripture refer so often to the churches? Because they are so important to God, and they should be well respected by us. We should respect the local or particular church because Christ is their head. Colossians 1:18 speaks of Christ as the head of the church. Isaiah, in his ancient prophecy in Isaiah 9, says, "The government shall be upon his shoulder." In 1 Corinthians 12:27, there is reference to the local particular church of which Christ is head, and Paul writes this, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." The body of Christ. Christ is the head, we are the body. He is therefore in the midst of each church, caring for it, manifesting himself to it, declaring truth for it. He is the one who directs it, the one who governs it, and the one who defends it. He is the head of that body. And because Christ is king of these kingdoms, head of these churches, the church, wherever it may be found, is to be highly esteemed. It is Christ's domain. It must be respected. We must respect the local or particular church, fourthly, because most honourable titles are given to it. In Acts 20:28, when Paul addresses the Ephesian elders, he tells them to look after the church of God, which he hath purchased with his blood. There is an honourable title. The Church of God. How dare we show disrespect and dishonour for what lies in the possession of God Almighty. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, towards the end of that chapter, Paul writes this, verse 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Desecration of a holy place is sacrilege and was regarded as a heinous sin throughout Bible times. The church, though not material, but spiritual, is the temple. And to show disrespect to God's temple is to show disrespect to God himself." So Such titles are given to it as the habitation of God, the household of faith. And each church is so special, so beautiful, so glorious, that it is said to be a golden candlestick. We read of that in the book of Revelation, chapters 1 to 3. The seven golden candlesticks in the figures of those early chapters of Revelation represent the seven local particular churches of Asia Minor. The church, therefore, is honorable, exceedingly precious, and we are to show it respect. Fifthly, the church, local in particular, is to be respected because it is separate and distinct from the world. In the Song of Solomon, and chapter 4, and verse 12, this is how the church is described: a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. A garden is a piece of land that has been separated from common land. And the earth generally, and it has been fenced, and it has been cultivated, and it has been planted by the gardener. The church is separated, it is distinct from the world, and God has called it together. The very meaning of the word church in the New Testament, the word ecclesia, means it is made up of those who have been called out. The Lord has called them out to be a people. And therefore, it is different from any other institution, and it is superior to any other institution in the world. It is made up, it is comprised of the Lord's chosen, redeemed, and called people, the precious and the excellent of the earth. We reflect upon ourselves if we do not honor the church. Sixthly, the local and particular church is to be given respect and honor because the Lord has granted to each church the Holy Scriptures, that those churches may be custodians of the truth of God. The oracles of God have been committed to them. Paul in 1 Timothy 3:15 speaks of the church as the pillar and the ground of the truth. And it is the church, not so much individuals, but the church, which has been called upon to maintain the truth in this world and to hold forth the word of God. Moreover, Christ has set in the church officers such as teachers. He's given to the church pastors and teachers. Ephesians 4:11. You are not a pastor, even in your own home. That is a church office. And Christ has created that office, and he has filled it in the church. The ordinances of worship are not for you in some place apart, but the ordinances of public worship, including baptism and the Lord's Supper, are church ordinances to be observed within the confines of Christ's church. The church, therefore, has the Word of God and is the custodian of it. It has a holy ministry and is blessed through it. It has all the ordinances of worship and is to be responsible for them. These things pertain to the church, and these things require profound respect. Seventhly, the church, local in particular, is to receive our respect because it is the agent of God's will, of Christ's will in this world. Representatives from Jerusalem in Acts 8 went down to Samaria to establish the church in that place. The church meeting at Antioch in Acts 13 sent out Paul and Barnabas on a mission with the gospel. Paul writes to the Thessalonians in the first chapter of the first epistle and says, "From you sounded out the word of God. It is the church which is the agent of evangelism in this world. It is the body of Christ to do what Christ would do if he was physically present. And when the Lord saves people in this world, he adds them, not to families, not to societies, but he adds them to his church. His express will is that the church would grow. He declares, 'I will build my church.' He says that of nothing else. Eighthly, the church, local in particular, is to be respected because precious promises belong to that body. In Exodus 20:24, God says, "In all places where I record my name, that is, where I am worshipped with the companies of my people in local churches, I will come to them and I will bless them." Speaking of those churches in Matthew 18, already referred to, the Lord Jesus said, "Where such are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." The promise was directed to them. In Revelation 2, he describes himself as he that walketh in the midst of the candlesticks. That is a promise for the churches, that the Lord will be present, particularly and specially among them. You say, "I can worship at home." You can't with that promise. It is right that you worship at home with your families. But the special presence of Christ in all his grace and power is directed to the churches. And he is there in a way that he is not inside your front door. "The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob." Ninthly, a local and particular church, or such churches, are to be respected because privileges belong to them. Such privileges as make the people of God to rejoice. In Isaiah 56, God says, I will make them glad and happy in the house of God. Make them joyful there. That is the word used. And there is such blessing in local and particular churches as to lift the hearts of God's people with great joy. Not only that we have a part in it, but that God is good to his churches. The Psalm 132 speaks of the blessing upon such churches. And God says there, I will dwell with them. I have chosen this place to be my dwelling place. I will bless her provision. And so there is the privilege of blessing upon the word of God, upon the people of God, when they gather together for solemn worship. And if we value what is for his glory and our good, then we will respect the church. And tenthly and lastly, we are to respect local and particular churches because they are responsible for the glorifying of God. Do you remember Paul's words in Ephesians 3? Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, world without end. Do you remember the closing words of Psalm 29? In his temple, everyone declares his glory. The church is here to be visible to the community and visible to the world of what God has wrought. That God has saved the people. He has joined them together. His grace has been distributed. And these people are the monuments of that grace, visible in the community, glorifying God. How good is God, how gracious, how merciful, that from the city of Salisbury he has saved the people to be his, to bless them and do them good all the days of their lives. That is to the glory of God, and that is why the church must be respected, because its interests are all met together in the glory of God, all twined together with the glory of God. If the church fails, the glory of God is diminished. If the church is prospered, the glory of God is enhanced. That is why you should respect local and particular churches. Now then, in my second part of this sermon, having established that local particular churches are to be highly regarded and not despised, let me proceed to deal with two practical matters. I've called them this: despising the Church of God, and secondly, honoring the Church of God. The text says, 1 Corinthians 11:22, despise ye the Church of God. How do people despise the church? Well, several ways. One, you can despise the church by refusing to join it. When the Apostle Paul was converted, in Acts 9 we read that he essayed to join himself to the disciples. He was not content with attending meetings and being what the Scots call adherents. Taught by grace, he wanted to be part of the saved community, the company of God. He essayed to join. If we can't be bothered to do that, if we don't think the church is worth our commitment, we are despising the church of God. 2nd, we despise the church by neglecting its services and its meetings. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. What is it that makes a person stay at home when the rest of the professed believers in a given place attend the service and the meeting of the gathered church? It is indifference. No. It is a despising of the church of God. Thirdly, we can despise the church of God when we show that we have no great interest in being present and we don't attend to the worship that is being offered. Now, young people, let me speak this to you. You come into the church of God for divine worship and you're fidgeting away and you're talking and you're showing complete disinterest in the church. You think you're being independent. I tell you, you are despising the church of God. In God's presence, you should learn to sit quietly, young as you are, and you should listen to the preaching and teaching from this pulpit because it does concern you. And one day, young as you are, you will have to give account to God Almighty for how you listened and how you responded to what you heard. It is not clever to be naughty in church. It is sinful. Despise ye the church of God? The fourth way you can despise the church of God is failing to show that you're happy and you're glad to be in the company of God's people. Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up into the house of God. We should be glad to go to church because we're going to hear the word of salvation and we're going to come into the presence of the God who made us and has cared for us. I was glad to hear the ways of God outlined in the church. We should be glad because his ways are ways of pleasantness and all his paths are peace. If you come into the church in a bad temper, with a sullen face, indifferent to the company of God's people, in God's name I rebuke you this morning. That is not the way to come before Almighty God. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Fifthly, you despise the church of God when you sow discord and strife. It is one of the things the Lord hates. Corinth was troubled with it. Paul makes reference to it again and again. I fear that when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. You've got something against somebody else in the church, sort it out. But don't spoil the fellowship of God's people with your grouse and with your murmuring, for you will despise the church of Jesus Christ. You despise the church of God by lack of prayer for it, praying for its blessing, praying for its prosperity. What says the apostle? Or what says the scripture? Pray one for another. Failure to follow that injunction is despising of the church. You concluding that it is not worth praying for. There are other things of greater moment and more important than the church. I challenge that. The church is as the apple of his eye. It was the church for which he gave the blood of his son. Lastly, you despise the church of God when you undervalue its privileges and benefits. When you're too ready to complain and not ready and quick enough to thank God for what you have in a local and particular church. And all you can do is speak negatively and say how you've been hurt and say how you've been harmed and say how you've been wronged. Has God done nothing good for you? Despise ye the church of God. This word must be turned upon our hearts this morning. I preach it with intent. I preach it with concern because I believe that there are those within this congregation who are despising the church of God. And it should not be. And it must not be. There are some who put their own families before the church. They would rather be with their wives and children than with the church when it gathers on a Lord's Day or on a Wednesday for prayer meeting. That is despising the church. You may think yourself holy because you are supporting your family, but you're doing it to the neglect of a divine institution which is central in God's thinking and is vital to his interests in this world. Now, I'm not speaking of those who are ill and infirm and aged and can't be present at all the meetings. Of course, I'm not speaking of you. We quite understand that. I'm speaking of able-bodied persons who can be present and are not present. Who can support the church and are not supporting the church. Despise ye the church of God. Well then lastly, honouring the church of God. Our time is gone, so I must be brief. How do you honor the Church of God? You have the highest regard for it. You delight in the Church, its ministry, its ordinances, and its people. You don't need to be persuaded and exhorted to be present at its assemblies. Your heart moves you to be present because you love the Church of God. You honor it by living out its teaching, by heartily joining in its worship, by loving, forbearing, forgiving its members, and covering hurt with love. Speaking, not sharply, but kindly. Not destructively, but edifyingly to other members, and thus advancing and strengthening the cause of the local church. That is honoring the church. Recognizing it is Christ's and doing everything you can for it, so that it is, apart from him, your chief interest in this world. Determined never to give offense, never to cause trouble, never to spread a bad feeling in the church. No, you can't do that. It is despising the Church of God, spreading peace and goodwill. Christian kindness and generosity, so that the church is the better for your company and not the worse. That is honoring the Church of God. What I preach to you this morning, I have felt for a long time. No, I haven't been in some way upset this week. I haven't got a bee in my bonnet. I'm not obsessed with a particular problem. I believe I am concerned for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as concerned for his church. And I must just leave you with a question this morning. Given what the church is, and you answer this, despise ye the Church of God? If we have, repent of it and seek pardon and renew your covenant to him. Honor the Church of Jesus Christ.